And tomorrow night,
yep.
The other reason we're here, Front Row, Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's like religion for Kathy. You don't understand.
You're in the 06010. Focus. The most popular fantasy podcast show. Focus. They bad it. Say they can. Matthew Berry. Talented Mr. Oro. Bob Hader. Never win the man's league. ESPN. What are you doing with these guys? No wonder they won two podcast awards. All around the world, let's put it on the board.
It's a very exciting day here, Podvader, and not just because it's another day without Nate. It's because today is a phone-in Friday. What are you shaking your head?
Yeah, I don't have that.
Oh, for the love of Pete. Anyway, all right, fine. Anyway, it is a phone-in Friday, but the phone-in is Stefania Bell live from Las Vegas. What's up, Stefania?
Hey, that's right.
Making
live. Live, waking up bright and early in Vegas.
Are you, now, be honest, are you waking up or are you just finishing your evening?
I'll never tell.
That's a smart move, Stefania. In addition to having Stefania Bell on the show, we also have the Stefania Bell alongside
Excellent.
As well. Coming up on today's show, we'll get the update from Stefania. It's been way too long since we've had her on the show, so we'll talk about injuries to guys like Brian Roberts, Aaron Hill, and of course all the closers, Fuentes, Mike Gonzalez, Carlos Gonzalez, some pitchers as well. So we'll go through all that. But first, Stefania, you know, it's interesting. When we got on the phone, Podvader told you and me that he'd never been to Vegas, that he was a little jealous. But he was a little jealous that you're out there. So he hasn't been to Vegas, and yet he has been to karaoke bowling in Wallingford.
Well, why?
Let me tell you,
Vegas,
extremely
really.
Equal.
I mean, you know, what more is there to see?
Right. Yeah. I guess that's true. I mean, Stefania, you're a woman of the world. You've traveled many, many places in search of stories and helping out athletes. Is there a difference between Vegas and Wallingford, Connecticut, karaoke bowling?
Well, I must confess, I have not yet attended karaoke bowling in Wallingford, Connecticut. But that said...
You know why? You know why that is, Stefania? You know why you've never attended bowling in Wallingford?
Why would that be?
Because you're somewhat classy. Please.
What?
My guess is... Listen, Podvader. Queen Podmadala came there because she is a lovely woman who supports you. But there's absolutely...
It was her idea.
Stop it. You're making stuff up now. This is the mother of your children. Stop. Quit lying. I will tell you this right now. I will bet anything you want that you go to karaoke night in Wallingford, Connecticut at the bowling alley. There are no women there.
Oh, there are women there.
Oh, stop it.
They're
stop
all like... 14, 15.
Those aren't women, those are girls.
Okay, that's a very, very valid point.
Podvader, those are teenagers. They don't count.
All right.
For the love of God.
I think we need to do.
What's that?
I think we need to do a fantasy focused podcast live from Vegas.
From karaoke.
I think we need to get that
bowling.
On the agenda.
That's what we'll do. Myself and Nate will go out to Vegas and we'll send Pod to produce it from Wallingford, Connecticut.
There you go.
That's not going to work.
So not a lot that happened last night in the major leagues. I mean, I thought, you know, great performance from Francisco Liriano. That was nice. I thought this was an interesting stat going into yesterday's game. Liriano 0-2 with a 13.50 ERA in two previous starts against the Red Sox. The only reason I bring that up is, you know, everyone knows that I've been a Liriano guy forever and that I've been, you know, I got sucked in again this year. And part of the argument was that I think that he's changed. He's got the slider back. It was certainly working yesterday. So the fact that he was able to shut down one of his arch nemesis, as it were, I thought was impressive there. I just a couple of names real quickly, and we'll get to the injuries here, Stefania, but Mike Pelfrey, Dana Eveland, and David Huff, all pitchers that kind of more deeper league guys that had another good start. They're available in pretty much every league. They definitely, I think, need to be considered for spot start duty in shallow mixed leagues and guys that should be on your radar for slightly deeper leagues if they're out there. Let's now move to some injuries here, Stefania. Of course, we can read your blog on ESPN.com. For those of people who don't know, Stefania, of course, our injury expert and licensed physical therapist, a longtime fantasy player as well. Let's start with Jimmy Rollins because, you know, we have the whole Jimmy Rollins rule because of him. And it looked like sort of the same thing, that he wasn't going to miss a little, you know, he was just going to be kind of day to day. And now they're saying 2 to 4 weeks. What's going on with J-Ro?
Well, he strained his calf when he was out warming up for Monday, and he didn't feel right. He knew it was probably going to be something serious. Although the Phillies held off on making the announcement until after he had the MRI, he knew that this was going to be problematic. And the thing is, the calf strain sounds like it should be no big deal. You know, it's the calf. Who cares? But it turns out for a speed guy, you really need a lot of force to push off from your calf when you're running, like when you're coming out of the batter's box. And also defensively, when you try and make a jump on the ball, you really need that. And the risk is, if you have a muscle tear there and you go back too soon, you could end up blowing out the whole thing, and then you're costing your season. So I was not surprised by the move to the DL. I think what fantasy players need to be aware of is that this is going to be longer than 15 days.
Okay.
You're hoping that he's back in 4 weeks.
Wow. Hoping. So a little bit more of a serious injury for Jimmy Rollins than I think people are probably aware of. I think most people,
yes,
and certainly sort of my reaction was, because I haven't had a chance to read your blog yet, was kind of like, ah, all right, so fine, whatever, 2 to 4, whatever, maybe he's back in 3. It's kind of annoying, but whatever, I can live with him till May. But you're saying we're hoping he's back by then.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. These, and we could look at players who've had this kind of injury in the past. They feel good once the initial pain and inflammation is down, and you hear the reports. You know how it goes.
Right,
he's
sure.
Start running. He's going to start doing some baseball activity. And then they go out there, and when they try to push the speed, they're like, uh-oh. They feel something. And so then the team gets nervous, and they hold them back. And by the time they do all that maneuvering, I'm saying I would expect, I would plan on approximately 4 weeks. If it's less, hey, bonus. But plan to start that he's going to be out at least 4 weeks.
All right, well, that's a good heads up on Jimmy Rollins. Let's stay in the middle infield position with another speed guy, and that's Brian Roberts. What's going on with him? I know he was banged up in the preseason, but then he started the season okay. What happened there?
Well, you know what happened.
I don't. That's why I'm asking.
I drafted him in my auction.
Oh, my God, Brian Roberts. The curse of Stefania Bell.
I know. It started in week one with my six.
All right. Well, there you go. Okay.
Week one. That's the problem. And poor Brian Roberts, he had no idea he was going to be drafted by me.
Yep.
And he went into the season and was ready to go, and then he was on Stefania Bell's team, and then he got hurt. What happened was he was stealing second, and he strained his abdominal muscle, and, you know, he was coming into the season with issues related to a herniated disc in his back. And the injury to his abdominal muscle also aggravated his back. Now, he's had to get a second epidural injection where they stick a big needle into your spine to help calm down the inflammation. But the hints are, even manager Dave Tremblay said, expect him to be longer than the 15 days. And the bigger issue for me is that when you have a herniated disc and the problems start to creep up again, you can anticipate that this may be something they have to manage across the season. Mm. Kind of like what Roy Oswalt was doing. Remember, Roy Oswalt had that last year, came back this year, and then in spring training started with symptoms from that. These are chronic injuries that flare up from time to time. So I think he'll be back, but I think you're going to have to keep a backup at the ready because this could happen again.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe, obviously, Julio Lugo is there, and it just kind of depends on the depth of your league. It seems like we're having a run on kind of middle infielders here because Aaron Hill also banged up, Stefania.
Yeah, Hill has a hamstring injury. Not too serious, it sounds like. He said if it was a different point in the season, he could play. The team's being cautious because it's early, and he's a guy who it looks like when his eligibility to come off the DL arrives, he'll be ready to go.
All right, so it sounds like you're the most positive of Hill of the three. If you had to rank the injuries, just out of curiosity for me, in terms of from severe to least, who's the guy that you're most concerned of those three guys?
Of those three, you know, they're just all so different. But I think Brian Roberts, because of the unpredictability of the back problem, like, I still like him. Rollins may take longer up front, but if it takes longer and it gets fully better, then I think you can say it's pretty much behind him. Roberts may be shorter recovery initially, but I have more concern going forward that this could crop up.
Fair enough. What's going on with the Phillies outfielder Jason Wirth?
Luckily, it doesn't appear too serious. His left hip coming out of the batter's box sounded like a hip flexor strain. He said it was no big deal. He was already pinch hitting on Wednesday, and I believe that he was going to be back in the lineup Thursday. Either way, it's not a big, serious injury, so people don't need to be concerned.
And maybe if there's somebody that's panicking there, try to make a buy low offer on him. Brian Fuentes, sort of, I thought this one came out of nowhere. Him going on the DL, of course, Fernando Rodney, now the new closer in Anaheim. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, my beloved Halos. What's going on with Brian Fuentes?
Well, he had this upper back strain, and here's the thing. This is the way I like to look at the DL. You look very closely at not necessarily the day they announce the guy's going on the DL, but how far retroactive are they making it? Because sometimes what the team is doing is actually creating space for a guy to rest a few extra days. So let's say they thought Fuentes' injury is not that serious, but they want to give him a few extra days, and then they can make a roster move in the interim. So in his case, it was retroactive to April 6th, and it looks like he's going to be able to come back when he's eligible. So I think they were just negotiating a few more days off for him. I don't think this is a serious injury.
Okay. Good. It's interesting because Tristan and I talked about it, and I would urge you to not just download but actually listen to yesterday's podcast. Tristan and I talked about this. He's got some interesting theories on that he thinks Fernando Rodney keeps the closer gig just because Fuentes' A, particular talent skill, or skill level, I should say, and his contract situation.
Well, and it may very well be the case, and we know that teams use the DL for many reasons, and one option there is to make a move to allow Rodney to sit in the closer position while Fuentes is on the DL, see what happens over those extra few days, and then make a decision going forward. So it gives the team just a little more flexibility in some cases, where the injury doesn't appear to be that serious.
Definitely. Looking through my notes here for one of the, caught me off guard for 1 second. Two more guys for me on my list for you here. And, this is a guy that was off to a hot start, Carlos Gonzalez, and, he's been sidelined the last couple of days.
Yeah, another hamstring injury for an outfielder. And again, teams worry if you bring a guy back too fast, you're going to end up with something that ends up compromising them for a couple of months. Now, Gonzalez originally called it tightness. We hear tightness, or, they felt like it pulled. It doesn't sound that serious, but he still can't run full speed. So they've only been using him as an emergency guy that they could pull off the bench if need be, but they really haven't used him. So they want him to be able to run full speed before he gets back in the starting lineup, and I would think that doesn't happen before this weekend.
Okay, so he'll be back fairly soon, but not in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I would say that you can't guarantee that he'll play during the weekend because they have to test him every day and see if he can sprint. So it's a day-to-day thing, which makes it hard to predict. People should anticipate having to replace him in the lineup potentially through the weekend, but it sounds like not beyond.
Cliff Lee seems to be doing okay in his rehab start. Everything you're hearing? Looking good there?
Yeah, everything I'm hearing is really good. It's funny. When it happened in spring training, I don't know if you remember, but they said Cliff Lee expected to miss a week. And
right.
When you hear about an oblique injury in a pitcher, you can pretty much put it on your calendar. It's going to be about 30 days because that is the average time missed for a pitcher with some kind of abdominal injury, especially if it's an oblique. And the team never called this an oblique injury, but it had many similar features. So we're hitting around the 30-day mark when Cliff Lee is going to be back. And I just find that kind of amusing, and you have some predictive value there going forward if you hear about a pitcher with an abdominal strain. The good news is, by doing what they've done, resting him, rehab, he had the PRP injection, which was kind of a new thing for a pitcher, and the hope is that helps him not just get back, but stay healthier. Right now, it looks like he is going to get a start right in the first part of May, first week of May.
That'll be great. And I actually heard the Seattle Mariners talk about that they like how Bedard's been looking, and that he'll actually come back towards the end of May. So
you are just,
I know
you are wishing it. So
I love Bedard.
I know you do, and I can't help you there. Really.
No one can. No one can help me with my Bedard problems, Stefania. It's okay. I've learned to live with a shame. Hey, Stefania, so your blog is on ESPN.com. You can read more about all the players we just talked about. Plus, you've got Mark Ellis, you got Chris Young, you got Lance Berkman, you got a lot of other players there. So I encourage everyone to read that on ESPN.com. Stefania, you're more than welcome to stick around for the mailbag, or we'll let you get back to sleep, or turn in for the night, I should say.
I'm wide awake now. You know, I think I read it. You know, I'm here because it is the safety check. My friend,
oh.
My good friend Kathleen Beatty's birthday. And so we flew in from all parts of the country to celebrate.
I did not know that. Yes, I have met your friend Kathleen, the safety
chick.
So
you have to give her a shout out for a happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday to Kathleen. She's a lovely woman. So that's awesome. Are you guys going to dinner tonight?
We are probably going to dinner.
Do you know where yet?
We're thinking about 9 at Palm. Nine Steakhouse.
Nine Steakhouse is so fantastic, and their manager Jesse is a friend of mine. Ask for Jesse, say hi. He's a great guy, and it's a fantastic, fantastic place to eat.
Yes, indeed. And tomorrow night,
yep.
The other reason we're here, Front Row, Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's like religion for caffeine. You don't understand.
It would have to be.
They know she's coming.
Oh my God!
And look out!
Well, listen, I can only imagine what's going to happen during Jungle Boogie. all right, so let's get to the mailbag then.
Name out.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Well, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Burr.
Hey, Fantasy Leopard Geckos. This is from The Undertaker in D.C., Stefania, who wrote into FantasyFocus at ESPNRadio.com, FantasyFocus at ESPNRadio.com. Fantasy Leopard Geckos. They're now calling us all sorts of different animals, Stefania.
Okay. Leopard Geckos.
That's
all
us.
Right.
So he writes, I have nothing witty to say. Just do your jobs and answer my question.
Just sit there and talk. Be funny.
Yes. And then he writes in, cue drop of Nate saying, just sit there and be funny. Can I tell you that this is one of my biggest pet peeves of our emailers? Is when they sit there and they request drops of like, I'll just do this and then you can drop this thing.
Those people are idiots.
That's Nate on his high horse getting shot down, Stefania.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, what you missed was I believe it was Monday's show or Tuesday's show, Pod. On Monday's show. Nate and I had a discussion about Jason Frazier and Kevin Gregg, where I pointed out that Gregg had gotten another save and should Frazier owners be worried, and that I wanted to talk about it, and that some of my followers on Twitter were concerned about this, and Nate went off. Actually, let's play it again. Do you have that, Pod? You don't have that queued up. Oh, well. Anyway, Nate went off just about how everyone was an idiot for worrying about Kevin Gregg, that Jason Frazier was the closer, no question. And literally 3 days later, of course, Cito Gaston names Kevin Gregg the closer. So,
yes. So hopefully that you're giving him an appropriate...
We've been bringing it up forever, but we haven't really mentioned it today. So, Nate, what happened there?
Those people are idiots.
Right. I was wrong. There you go. What else? I'm sorry. One more time, Nate.
I was wrong.
One more time. Stefania was laughing. I'm sorry.
I was wrong.
All right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
I bow to the greatness of Matthew Berry.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Listen.
Boy, what a Friday it is.
It's been a great Friday. It's been a great Friday. But, of course, Stefania, you know that phrase well.
I did. Well.
I bow to the greatness of Matthew Berry.
Yeah. It's always fun to hear that. It's always fun to hear that. Anyway, The Undertaker wants us to play the name game.
The name game.
It's time for Laporta La Launch.
We drank Troy Tulloch Whiskey's bathwater.
Your wazoo should be full.
Yes.
And then there should be outfielders waiting to get into the wazoo.
All bets involve White Sox players.
Nameless complaint.
Manny Ramirez's injury is his female fertility drug.
Imagine sounds like he needs a cardotherapist.
I'm no hydrocarditist.
I like the winged beast.
I am pro jobbing the Jayhawk.
Unleash the Kraken. I like that one. Who's that from?
That's the second offering from Weasley Brian.
Hey, Weasley Brian.
I like that one, too.
Nice job. Hey, Stefania, so The Undertaker wants us to play the name game with some fringe starting outfielders that are off to cold or hot starts. So it's not really a name game. Undertaker screwed this up completely, but this is the first email that that Pod gave me. So Johnny Damon, slow start. Are you concerned? Are you?
Oh, I was waiting for the name.
I know. It's like... well, I guess maybe he wants us. Here's the list of Johnny Damon. Here's his list of outfielders, and I'll give it to you again. Johnny Damon, Kyle Blanks, Delman Young, Milton Bradley, Cameron Maybin, Austin Jackson. So,
well,
I will tell you this much. Of these guys right here,
Knock Milton Bradley off my list.
You don't like Milton. He's a little bit crazy. Cameron Maimon actually is, you know, he writes here, meh start, but, you know, Maimon hit a home run last night. I actually like Maimon. Of those guys, I would actually rank them Damon. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to say Kyle Blanks. Then Damon, then Austin Jackson. That would be my order of those three guys. Do you like Austin Jackson more than Kyle Blanks or Johnny Damon, Stefania?
No, I like Johnny Damon, and I think that he's going to warm up a bit. You know, he's getting adjusted to his new team. You know, I like Delmon Young, too.
Really?
I do. I think, you know, he's had some slow starts before, but I think that if you look at what he's done just lately, he might be picking it up. So I'm not opposed to Delmon Young. He's got a couple home runs.
He's playing better than he has. I will give you this on Delmon Young, that he may be one of those post-hype sleepers, because he's certainly gotten a lot of chances, but I believe he's like only still 26, you know. So, I'm not a huge Delmon Young guy, but if we went at the end of the year with Delmon Young having like a big year, I wouldn't be shocked by that. There are some people I would genuinely be shocked by.
I would say that, you know, right now he's going to hurt your batting average. And if you looked at my fantasy team, you might think I owned him because my batting average is at the bottom of the barrel. I don't. I can't possibly curse everything.
Yeah, no, I think that's the...
But I do like Cameron Maimon. I do like Cameron Maimon. I just think that he, you know, he strikes out a lot, and he's hurt me that way.
That is factually correct. All right, this one comes from Dan in Dallas. It was sent from his iPhone. He wanted us to know. Anyway, he writes, Fantasy Pink Flamingos, how can you say you can't panic before May? Last year, I didn't panic and held Chin Ming Wong, forever to be known as Wonged.
Well.
All right, there's not panicking, and then there's just being a moron.
Yeah. And you know what? To be fair, we gave that plenty of airtime. We talked about the concerns with Chin Ming Wong. I talked about my injury concerns with him when he got sent down. I take no responsibility for that.
Yeah, and by the way, dropping a player, a borderline fantasy guy, Wong had not played well the year before, and so he was he wasn't like a fantasy stud. He was just like a, you know, borderline guy, and then just after those performances that were so brutal. Yeah, dropping him is not panicking. Panicking is being like, oh, I got to trade Carlos Lee, or I got to get rid of Carlos Lee, a guy that's never hit less than 300 or had less than 100 RBIs when he's been in Houston. Panicking is on something like that.
Right.
Anyway, he continues, Stefania, and he writes, I dropped Bourbon after he went 1-for-25 and picked up Podsednik. All things equal, do I scramble to get Bourbon back or stay with Pods at risk of getting Bourboned? I get it. A lot of puns. All right, Dan in Dallas. I can't believe that was one of the better ones that came in there, Pod. I got to be honest with you. So far, weak emails today.
You know what?
I thought you would like the being wonged and...
No.
Bourboned.
No, those are obvious jokes. Leave the obvious jokes to me. I don't like other people making obvious jokes, because if they make obvious jokes, then I'm left with nothing.
Listen, it is Phone In Friday.
Phone In Friday!
Thank you. Only 20 minutes too late.
Yeah.
Anyway.
By the way,
yeah.
I'm keeping Julio Bourbon.
You know what?
I know he's off to a slow start, but, you know, I believe... in Julio Bourbon, and I'm giving him a chance. Stop it, I say.
Listen, I got to side with Pod here. The fact that you're keeping Julio Bourbon tells me Dan in Dallas, I think you go with Podsednik. No, here, in all honesty, I love Julio Bourbon too. I'm with you, Stefania. You know, I sold him hard in the preseason. I believe he will end up the year having a very good year. That said, what you basically want out of him is average and speed. And I believe that you're going to get about the same average out of Podsednik. And clearly, he's got the everyday job there in Kansas City, and they're running. They're running a lot in Kansas City. They lead the majors in steals. So I think Podsednik, I'd actually hang on to him in this particular guy's case. Let's see what else we got here. How are we doing on time here, Pod? All right, we got a couple minutes. All right, I'm looking there. Let's see. No. Okay. Here's another question. Hey, guys. First time, my buddy got me hooked. Number one, Jillian's in Boston does have bowling. Congratulations, Pod. Two, you guys have read a few of my buddy Ryan's emails. The first one was where he was trying to trade me Curtis Granderson and Jason Hayward for Pujols and Ellsbury. You guys correctly stated that this was the worst trade offer ever and did not even focus on the question much. I just wanted to thank you for showing that he knows nothing about baseball. Happy to help out EP. Anyway, he writes, when is it time to give up on Alfonso Soriano? I have Chris Young, Ellsbury, BJ Upton, and Ordóñez, yesterday. So I think I might drop him soon. What are you saying, Stefania?
I said yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, when we talked about this before the season, and the sad thing is I like Soriano. He's a nice guy. I mean, he's a hard worker. He's doing all the right things. He's going out early to take extra defensive practice. Although, you know, maybe that should have happened in the winter. But, you know, I want him to succeed. It's hard for me to be against him because I think this is a guy who does the right things in terms of effort. It's just not there. It's just not there. And there's too many concerns. There's concerns with his ability to run, although, you know, he looks pretty good so far, but I just don't know how long that holds up. He's been somewhat fragile. There's concerns with his defense, which means he's going to get less playing time or he's going to get pulled earlier in games, especially if it's a close game or they have the lead, you know, by a small margin. No.
Look, it's clear to me, Stefania, just by you saying that you like Alfonso Soriano, that he has fallen to the curse of Stefania. So, yeah, I agree with you. Considering this guy's EP, considering your outfielders, I have no issue with... I mean, it depends on who you're getting for him, but I have no issue with you bailing on Alfonso Soriano. Let's see. Here's one. Go Cheetos. That's right. Cheetos.
Is that an animal?
No, I don't know. I think it's... maybe they root for the snack food. I don't know. But
well, it is a cheetah that eats the Cheetos.
That is factually correct there. That is factually correct. Anyway, the guy asks me, is Jason Fraser a better chance to get his job back or more saves than any of the following available players? And it's all guys like Brandon Lyon, Kevin Jepsen, Takashi Saito, Cameron Micolio, the Orioles reliever, Daniel Bard, Juan Gutierrez. I actually like Juan Gutierrez a lot. We saw Qualls blow a save last night, but I think, I think Frazier gets the most saves of any guys on this list. I will say that he's got Billy Wagner, so I might back him up with Takashi Saito.
Yeah.
But no, I think of that list, to answer his question, Frazier will get more saves, I believe, than any of the players on that list, barring an injury. But he writes, this is the reason I took this question. This is, by the way, from Jeffrey from the Northern Illinois University College of Law. He writes, P.S., why isn't Bon Jovi's song Raise Your Hands part of either you or Pod's Jovi trilogy? It's clearly his best song.
It's clearly not.
I agree. I don't even think he says it's a Jovi trilogy. It's not a top three song. It's not a top five song. Stefania, I don't believe it's a top 10 song.
I would say not. I don't know. You know, I'm coming in blind to the Jovi trilogy. But having gone to college in New Jersey,
sure,
I can rattle off better Jovi songs to make the trilogy.
What would be your Jovi trilogy? I don't think we've discussed this with you. What is? New Jersey. You don't need to know what ours are. We'll tell you what ours are.
Well, Living on a Prayer is the anthem.
Okay.
You know. And now you're putting me on the spot, and my age is going to show up in the form of memory loss. But what's the one from the Young Guns too?
A Blaze of Glory.
Yeah.
That's a
great
one.
It's not even a Jovi song. Come on.
Of course it is. It's a absolutely.
This is
and
ridiculous.
By the way, Blaze of Glory is in my Jovi trilogy. Thank you, Stefania.
I'm getting input from the birthday girl.
Oh.
Dead or Alive. Dead or Alive.
And Dead or Alive. You've just named two of my three songs in the trilogy. Mine are those I do want a Dead or Alive, I do Bad Medicine, and then I do Blaze of Glory. Exactly. Thank you.
You know, Bon Jovi is in no danger of losing his day job to me.
No, he isn't. but here, there's three songs right there. I'm going to give you seven more songs that are better than that. I don't even remember what terrible song he wanted.
Raise your hands.
Oh, Raise Your Hands. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. So, Runaway, better. You with me, Pod?
Yeah.
It's not even a great song, but it's better. I mean,
it's better than Raise Your Hands.
Right. Living on a Prayer, we agree,
clearly.
Right?
Yeah.
Wanted Dead or Alive.
Clearly.
Three.
Yeah.
You Give Love a Bad Name, obviously.
Clearly.
Four.
Part of my trilogy.
Yep. Yeah, that's in my iPod.
Bad Medicine.
clearly.
That's five. I would argue I'll Be There for You.
Yes.
Yes?
I'll Be There for You. The slow that's love part, rock ballad.
That's part it's of right. my trilogy.
Right. It's a top ten. It's not a top three. Lay Your Hands on Me. I think it's a very underrated Jovi song.
Yes.
That's
seven.
I'm with you so far.
Keep the Faith, which I love. I actually really like that one. That's a... No, you don't like Keep the Faith? You would? You like the other one better?
Yeah.
Can I put in a vote for one of the new Jovi songs?
Yeah, sure.
Four to Follow? I mean, I don't even know if that's the real name, but, you know, We Weren't Born to Follow.
Oh, right, yeah.
I don't want to sing for you again because people might actually stop listening if they were so inclined.
I'll say It's My Life.
It's My Life, yeah.
That's better?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the newer Jovi.
Let's see. What about, I definitely think Runaway is. We're like at eight now. It's,
we're close enough.
Yeah.
The Raise Your Hands is still not there.
Yeah, it's, I completely, yeah. You know, what about Never Say Goodbye? I'm looking at a list here. I don't
better
love that
than
one.
Raise Your Hands.
I agree with that. Let's see, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. Maybe.
Nah.
Anyway, maybe it might make top 10. We may have to revise this, but it's not top 8.
I'll find 10 songs and make it out of the top 10.
If it makes top 10, it's like 9 or 10.
Yeah. So anyway, just a horrible email every single way around. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Bad emails today. What are you going to do? All right. Well, listen, Stefania. Listen, happy birthday to Kathleen, the safety chick. I hope you guys have a great... And before anyone gets all angry, that's what she calls herself.
Yeah, that's right. It is the safety check.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
I will tell you this, that sometimes that...
People how to live smarter through... Safer through smart personal decisions.
Yeah. No. What's her website? We'll give her a shout-out for the
Know. Well, it's safetychick.com.
There you go. Safetychick.com.
www.safetychick.com. Go get smart.
Go get smart, and you can see Stefania's friend Kathleen, the safety chick. But people get all upset, and they're like, how can you say chick? And I'm like, I know many women that use the phrase chick. And so, like, anyway. And here's one. Kathleen Beatty is one of them. All right. So, anyway. So, happy birthday to Kathleen. Have a great time in Vegas. Remember, always bet on black. If you're at the Palm Steakhouse at 9, say hi to Stefania tonight, coming up, impress her friends.
By the way,
yeah,
At Earth, Wind & Fire concert tomorrow, I believe you said, I don't want to know what happens when we hear Jungle Boogie.
Right.
That was Cool in the Gang, my friend.
Is Cool in the Gang? I thought for sure.
I just wanted to, for the record, get it right. It's September. Kathleen anthem.
September.
Earth, Wind & Fire.
Is Jungle Boogie Cool in the Gang?
Jungle Boogie is Cool in the Gang. When we get into that area of music, I definitely have the upper hand. So right. I felt the need to point that
70s
out.
70s funk, huh?
Oh,
that's right.
Interesting.
You have no idea, Pod.
Yeah. I can only imagine here. All right. Well, congratulations to, so anyway. All right. So for Earth, Wind & Fire, for Cool in the Gang, for Kathleen Beta, the safety chick, for the entire, staff at the, 9 Steakhouse at the Palms, for Pod Vader, for Nate, who's not here, for Jason Fraser, for 8 of the best Bon Jovi songs ever, I am Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Oda. Thanking you so much. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday. Peace out.
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.